Lloyd? Lloyd, is that you?
Yeah.
How did the Through the Keyhole recording go?
Oh, all right.
What's wrong? You sound a bit down.
It's just that stupid accent I do. It's even annoying me now.
The Cheese Shop presents The Butter Factor from the Gulbenkian Theatre, slap bang in the middle of the University of Kent.
So you found Jason on the doorstep?
Yes, just abandoned. There was a note, rubbish, about not being able to cope. Sickening, really.
Yes, absolutely.
We took him in temporarily, but 2 years on, they haven't been able to trace the mother, so we've decided to adopt. What do you think our chances are?
I honestly don't know. I think this is the first time anyone's tried to adopt a rabbit.
Do you think that the fact that we are not rabbits ourselves may stay in the way?
No, it may even be a bonus.
Because we are trying desperately to learn about rabbit culture. My wife has read a lot of books on the subject, Warship Down, House at Pooh Corner, Tales of Peter Rabbit, and we watched El Dorado religiously while Bunny was in it. We want him to know about his heritage.
Yes, well, obviously you're very serious.
Oh, we are. You see, my wife and I are not able to conceive rabbits ourselves.
I understand.
Whenever we try, the results are deformed. Little ears, pink bodies with no fur. And frankly, they're all rubbish at hopping. This is our big chance. I don't want to appear overconfident, but we've put his name down for a local nursery already.
Sure, he'll be very popular with the kids.
I think so too.
Mr. Ward, I have to go to another family now, but I think I can safely say no one will try and take Jason away from you.
You've made me very happy. Would you accept a small present?
Oh, I'm afraid that's quite irregular.
Just some biscuits.
Oh, well, I'm sure that's all right. Mmm, they're delicious.
Yes, Jason helped make them.
Mmm.
Chocolate chip?
Mmm, sort of.
And now, another chance to hear the award-winning soap opera, Sniper's Alley. Malcolm causes an upset when he leaves the laundrette unattended.
Hello, Michael.
You've got a bit of a smile on you today, Mr. Allen.
I'm feeling pretty good today, Michael. Have you seen Jenny? Oh.
What has Melanie got to hide? Is Donald really Pam's son? And why did Malcolm leave the laundrette unattended? Find out in the next episode of Sniper's Alley.
Go! No, I mean, come in.
You wanted to see me, Headmaster?
Ah, young Michael Owen, 4B. Yes, I did. Come in, sit down. Now, have you any idea why I've called you into my office this morning?
Is it because I've fallen behind in my classwork as a result of Liverpool's backlog of fixtures towards the end of the gruelling season?
No, it's not that. You've coped well combining a hard term's work for your saps and playing centre-forward for one of the biggest clubs in the country.
In that case, sir, I don't know why you've called me in.
Are you aware of these football sticker albums that have been doing the rounds?
What? The Panini ones?
Spot on. Now, this is a little embarrassing. My son is only one sticker away from completing his album. Now, all he needs is a Michael Owen.
Well, couldn't he get a swapsie?
Now, no dice, Michael. He's tried that. You see, a sticker of you has a current playground value of 3 Beckhams, 2 Sol Campbells and an Aston Villa club emblem. And he hasn't got that kind of clout. He's only 7 years of age.
Well, what do you want me to do about it, sir?
I wondered if you had any spares of yourself.
Well, I'm sorry, I haven't. Ironically, I need myself as well.
Okay, plan B. I've got a Polaroid camera here in my desk. What say I take a couple of snaps, one for you, one for me, everybody's happy.
Yeah, why don't we take a load of Polaroids and flog them off at the tuck shop for 20 quid a throw?
I am saddened by that suggestion, Michael. But I'm also greatly excited by it. Get your strip on.
Oh, but I haven't got it with me, sir.
In that case, you know the rules, Owen. You'll have to do it in your vest and pants. Go!
And now, Sniper's Alley. Malcolm has to face the music after a disturbance at the laundrette.
3 pints, please, Frank.
Make that 2.
Will Melanie's secret be revealed? If Donald isn't Pam's son, then who is? And what happened to Malcolm after the disturbance at the laundrette? Find out in the next episode of Sniper's Alley.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Miles Stoat. Please don't pull the passenger alarm. I am not one of the alcoholics, drug addicts, or gypsy minstrels who routinely terrorize commuters with demands for money. I am not a beggar. However, due to BBC One's watchdog repeatedly sticking their oar into my business affairs, I will be begging from you this evening. In a moment, I'd like you all to put whatever spare change you have into my cap. Not yet, you idiots! I said in a moment. Before you start throwing money at me willy-nilly, you might do me the courtesy of listening to what I have to say. Firstly, this is my piece of cardboard. It's made from the cover of a Gideon's Bible. It explains why I need your money and what I plan to do with it. Please read it. There's always some idiots who don't. Please do. It makes our lives easier. Secondly, you'll notice it asks for money and not food. I know what I like. You lot don't. There's no point in you giving me something I'll only end up spitting on and passing on to someone else. Who here has food in their bags? You have. What do you got?
Just vegetables.
What vegetables?
Potatoes, cabbage, celery.
There's always one, isn't there, madam? Listen, pal, do you know how many calories there are in a stick of celery?
No.
No, you're completely wrong, I'll tell you. There's less calories in a stick of celery than you use up eating the ruddy thing. Do you really imagine that I, or one of my homeless colleagues, is going to waste valuable energy eating sticks of peppery water all day just because some do-gooding vegetarian student has decided he's too lazy to eat them himself? If you do, then you're miles off. You've missed the runway and you're ploughing through a housing estate. You're out of your depth and your lilo's got a puncture. Your parachute's stuck and you're hours from the nearest bouncy castle. Point is, celery boy, you can stick it where the sun don't shine. I will take the potatoes and cabbage, however. Finally, and some of you may not like me saying this, but I'll say it anyway. Personally, I don't like saying thank you. It's a word that sticks in my craw. So when you do dip into your pockets, please don't expect me to show any gratitude, because if you were in my position, you can bet your bottom dollar I wouldn't be giving you the time of day.
Hello, I'm Blair Thompson, and this is my Hollywood Report. Meg Ryan's been out and about in town again. I contrived to bump into her at the premiere of her new movie, and again at the after-show party. At 2 a.m. I trailed her to Flamingo's nightclub, where she partied until 5 a.m. before heading home alone. At 7:30 a.m. she went for a jog. At 7:42 a.m. she returned and ate a breakfast of cereal and juice. At 7:56 a.m. she took a shower, washing and conditioning her hair. Dirty hair? Dirty, dirty hair? It's now 8:03. Her pillow is very soft. It smells of roses. Her nightie doesn't fit me. She's left her lipstick out so I can write on the mirror. Meg. Meg Ryan. She's finished. This is Blair Thompson jumping through Meg Ryan's bedroom window for Hollywood Report.
And now, Sniper's Alley. Malcolm collapses in the laundrette. Will Melanie tell Michael everything? Are Donald and Pam more than just good friends? And why did Malcolm collapse in the laundrette? Find out in the next episode of Sniper's Alley.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to welcome back those crazy stars of Britain's favourite nautical sitcom from the 70s. Firstly, Mr. Norbert Bucketson.
Who's in the Navy?
You are!
I am.
He is. Secondly, Mr. Dickie Whoops.
Oi, oi! Whoops!
Oh, God! Oh, dear!
And finally, that man of a thousand voices, Mr. Bertie Bufton!
Stop that man!
Who was that supposed to be, Bertie?
David Soul!
It was David Soul!
Hutch!
Hutch, of course it
was! I don't do stuff, Steve.
No, of course you don't! Well, the gang's all here, so it's time once again for Who's in the Navy?
Well, I'm sorry, Bosun, but that's no use. I don't want her going down on me during inspection. Not in front of the crew. Not for a third time. Oh, well, hopefully you'll sort out the problem with the mainsail at some point. Love to the crew. Who's in the Navy? I am. Come on in. Oi, oi! Oops! Oh, God!
All dry again, skipper!
You're in a hurry, sailor. What's the matter?
You're not gonna believe this. The first mate tried to mend the mainsail. He climbed up to the top, and now he's got stuck in all that square ropey stuff.
What's the first mate's name again?
Kevin Friggin.
We have to get him down. Any ideas?
We could tell him his wife's left him and he's fired.
No, I don't mean upset him. I mean physically get him down.
Oh!
Have you got a block and tackle, sailor?
Oi, oi, no, I haven't. What we really need is a crane.
You're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off. Not a lot of people know that.
I said a crane, not a cane.
I was being Michael Caine. Cracking impression of Michael Caine there.
Midshipman!
What?
Midshipman!
Where?
No, midshipman, we need to get the first mate Friggin out of the rigging. Any ideas?
I've got piles.
Oh, you mean you've got loads? Loads of ideas, have you, midshipman? Well, come on, let's hear them.
No, I've got piles. Want to have a look? Here you go.
Oh, Bertie!
Oh. Oi, oi! Whoops!
That was Who's in the Navy, starring Norbert Bucketson, Dickie Whoops and Bertie Bufton. Tune in next week when Dickie gets his yardarm snagged on the ship's wheel.
Our first applicant for the position of composer for our latest children's animation is 70s singer-songwriter Ted Ruby. Ted, take a seat.
Thank you. You know, it sure is an honor to be given the opportunity to compose the music to your new cartoon. Don't tell me. Elton John's busy, yeah?
Actually, yes, he is, Ted.
Okay.
And Tim Rice has the flu. Now, Ted, the idea of this interview is to give us...
Sorry for interrupting you there, but do you mind if I chop myself out a little tiny line of cocaine here? I'm a touch nervous.
Well, look, we'd rather you just didn't...
Yeah, you see. Geez, that's better. Oh, yeah. Fire away, kid. Fire away.
Well, we...
You know, can I just say, I love cartoons, yeah? I mean, they're just great, aren't they? I mean, I love them. What's the name of that stupid mouse?
Look, Mr. Ruby...
Mickey, yeah. I mean, he is one funny goddamn mouse. Am I right?
Mr. Ruby,
that mouse, man. I split my goddamn sides watching that fool, yeah. Yeah, I mean, hey, if I get the job, could I meet him?
Mr. Ruby, could we just get on here, please?
Yeah, sorry, what am I thinking? He's a busy guy.
Mr. Ruby, this is a list of the main characters in our new feature-length animation and all their characteristics. What we'd like you to do is come up with a verse for each of them in the title song for the film.
Right, you got Tommy, King of the Pixies, Bunchkin the Fairy, Gorgonza the Ugly Troll.
Yeah, we reckon it's going to be a big hit with the kids.
I mean, King of the Pixies, man. I mean, what the hell rhymes with Pixies? Now, Pixie King, on the other hand, yeah, Dad, that's more like it. King, you got ring, sing, ding-a-ling. Yeah, yeah, I might just switch a few names around. Yeah, this cartoon business, piece of goddamn cake. Now, where's the piano?
Yeah, it's through there.
Okay, you got to give me half an hour. I need a bag of pretzels and a bottle of Jack Daniel.
And a 16-year-old boy as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, you got yourself an old CV there. I don't mess with kids no more.
Hey,
boys. Steve Davis here. Not me, Steve Davis. Obviously, I'm not the snooker player. I am Steve Davis, agony uncle. And this week, my first letter is from... It's from Inadequate, but not in the trouser department, in Harlow. He writes, "Alright, Steve, I'm starting to feel like a junior partner in my marriage. On the one hand, I play a lot of darts and do a lot of fishing. On the other hand, my wife is Secretary of State for Industry and President of the Board of Trade. Should I feel slightly inadequate?" Well, it depends how good you are at darts, doesn't it, mate? No, but seriously, inadequate, but not in the trouser department. What you are is an unsung hero. There's an old saying, behind every successful woman is a fella with a big car. Take the example of Florence Nightingale. You see, she wouldn't have been able to do the healing bit if Terry Nightingale hadn't been bankrolling the whole thing with his fruit and veg stall. And what about Bert of Arc? If he hadn't made a small fortune selling firewood to the English, Joan wouldn't have had the spare time to fight us. He had to laugh when he found out what we wanted to use it for. Having said all that, Victoria Wood's old man's a bit of a prat, so it can go either way.
Dealt with. Next letter.
My next letter is from... It's from Eddie Boy in Chelmsford. He writes... "All right, Steve. I've been putting on a bit of weight recently, and as a result of my signet rings, I now have 10 blue fingers. Should I go on a diet?" A diet? Eddie Boy! You want to spend the rest of your life called Eddie Girl? Come on, mate. Losing your fingers is a small price to pay for having a fistful of gold. Dealt with. That's it from me. Be good. If you can't be good, you'll have me to deal with. Steve Davis. Ta-da.
Okay, Ted, you've had half an hour. What have you come up with?
Hey, prepare to be blown away. You got yourself a blockbuster soundtrack here, courtesy Ted Ruby. Once upon a time or other, there were a load of pixies and shit hanging out in the forest. And you're gonna learn all about them in this new cartoon from Walt Disney. Music by Ted Ruby. Yeah, there's a few bits need tidying up there, yeah. La la la, la la la. Sing, sing along with the Pixie King. He's good, not bad, and his name is Brad. Yeah, sing along with the Pixie King. Ring-a-ding-ling-ding. Ding. You see, I changed his name to Brad. Yeah, works so much better. Rhymes a ten a penny.
Yeah, I'm not convinced, Ted. What about Munchkin the Fairy? You got any ideas for her?
Yeah, the fairy. I changed her name to Mary. Yeah. Her name is Mary. She's the local fairy. Little Bradley couldn't love her more, 'cause she dresses like a whore. Sing along with the Pixie King. He's sane, not mad, and his name is Brad. Yeah, it's working a goddamn treat, yeah? The secret's in the rhyme.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the whore there, Ted.
Sure about the whore. You see how easy it is? You're doing it yourself.
Jeez, Ted. What about Gorganza, the big bad troll?
Yeah, listen. But look out, there's a nasty troll in the forest who's known as Colin McMorris.
What?
Yeah, I appreciate there are better names for a troll than Colin McMorris.
You bet your sweet ass there are, Ruby.
Yeah, but if you knew the Colin I'm talking about, man, he is one ugly dude.
Ted, I'm not sure you got the idea here. The animation is about an innocent love affair between a pixie king and a fairy with a jealous troll as a subplot. That's what we want the song to convey.
Yeah, hold your horses, check out this verse. When all the pixies have gone to bed, little Mary finds Brad and she gives him good...
Ted!
That's all, folks!
Never done one of these
before.
Very exciting.
Okay, settle down, everyone. You're not at the bank today. Okay, well, hi, I'm John, and I'm your group leader for today's game.
Hello, John.
All right.
Right, this morning's fun is going to hopefully teach you about working as a team, collective responsibility, and above all, how to kill with the least possible noise. Now, has anyone killed anyone before?
One of my clients committed suicide after we declared him bankrupt.
Yes, not really what I'm after. Anyone else?
I ran over a cat once.
Yeah, that's better. Okay, well, you can be my second in command.
Great!
It's your job to take over if I get shot and to kill anyone who gets wounded and starts slowing us down.
Okay.
Okay, now we're the blue team today, so I want you all to put on your blue bibs.
Oh, I'm going to need your arse. Excuse me, who's the red team?
The red team today are the legitimate government of Moldavia's elite commandos.
Are they an accountancy firm?
No, they're professional soldiers.
Oh, I didn't know they went in for these sort of war games.
Neither do they yet. Boy, are they in for a surprise.
Look, isn't there a slight worry they might mistake us for real enemies?
Only if they see us before we kill them. Now, we're going to be parachuted into the grounds of the Presidential Palace at 0600. Our special job is to kidnap the President. Now, we've got to do that before 0630 because that's when the personnel department of Ernst & Young will be taking over the Moldavian nuclear missile silos. No, come on. We can have just as much fun as them in the palace. And don't forget, if we win, we get to loot the city.
Yay! A great turnout here at badminton this year, and all the crowds are heading for the water jump. I'm sure everyone's seen it on television, but it's no substitute for seeing it in the flesh. When those horses go down, they get all wet and shiny. You see their muscles, their big muscles standing out. It's almost as if they've been oiled. And, of course, the riders fall into the water, which adds an element of humour. What do you think, Martin?
Well, stick those horses in wet T-shirts, I'd be stiff for a week.
Yes, I know.
We understand that rebel forces in the former Republic of Moldavia have now reached the outskirts of the capital city, Chisinev. Our man, Henry Payne, is there, and I believe we can talk to him now. Henry, how are things going there?
Fine, yeah, how are you?
I'm fine. What's the mood like there tonight?
Yeah, it's not bad, but I can tell you, nobody feels like having a party, you know what I mean?
Yes, I can imagine.
Still, the bars are open, so it's not a complete disaster.
Have you seen any fighting yet?
Yeah, there was a bit of a scuffle outside one of the brothels last night.
And what was that about?
They were trying to overcharge me. I told them.
Yeah, what about the war, Henry? What's going on in the war?
Oh, right, yeah, hold on, I'll see if they've got CNN. Oi, Boris, you got CNN? I don't think they've got it, mate. You're right, darling, I'll be with you in a minute, I'm on the phone. Look, mate, I'm going to have to go. The tarts here charge by the hour and her meter's running, know what I mean? Yeah, give us a ring tomorrow, not too early.
Okay, hopefully you'll have some action to tell us about then.
Yeah, I reckon you can put your mortgage on that, mate. See ya.
Henry Payne in Moldavia there. Very much in the thick of it.
I remember Jeremy from when he was a choir boy here. You must be devastated.
We are, Vicar, yes. We're going to miss him terribly. But the important thing is to give him a good send-off. We want the service to be very special.
We'll do whatever we can. Were there any particular hymns you'd like us to sing?
Oh, no hymns, please. Jeremy hated hymns. He was a big heavy metal fan.
Heavy metal? That's one thing you won't miss around the house. Sorry.
We've got a list of his favourite songs. We'd like them to be sung on the day.
Of course. Whatever we can do.
Sex, Death, Crash by Mary Magdalene's Knockers.
Right.
Hamster Up My Tunnel by Zum Bahnhof Scheisse. They're a local band.
Right.
And finally, we are Vicar Sandwich by Vicar Sandwich.
Right, well, I'll talk to our organist, Miss Darbabe. I'll see if she knows them, but she is 73.
It's what he would have wanted.
I'm sure it'll be no problem. Now, about flowers.
No flowers, please. Jeremy hated flowers.
Okay, fine. No decorations at all, then.
We would like some decorations, the sort of thing Jeremy would have appreciated. Upside-down crucifixes, skulls, swastikas.
Not sure about the swastikas.
Oh, they're completely ironic.
I can't see the church warden going for it.
It's what he would have wanted.
I'm sure that'll be fine.
We'd also like you to read out this.
I, the Reverend E.M. Lambsworthy, interfere with the devil's donkey.
Could you learn that by heart, do you think?
Could do in theory. Not altogether happy about it.
It's what he would have wanted.
Did Jeremy have something against me?
It is beginning to look that way, isn't it?
Perhaps he'd rather someone else conducted the service.
No, it has to be you. You see, before he left us, he told us what he wanted done with the ashes.
Oh, he wanted me to scatter them somewhere.
Not so much scatter as insert.
Right.
And I think he'd have wanted us to video that part of the service. So that he can watch it.
In heaven?
Yes, in heaven.
Fighting has worsened overnight in the former Republic of Moldavia. Our man, Henry Payne, is still in the capital, Chisinev. Henry, what can you tell us?
It's absolute carnage here.
Can you give us some details?
Yeah, I haven't been to bed since I last spoke to you. Well, I hooked up with the personnel department of Ernst & Young, who are over here on a team-building jolly. They're covered in paint. We're having a fantastic time.
Yep. Is there any news of the war, Henry?
No.
So, no chance of an early resolution to the conflict?
Oh, yeah, no, it'll all be over by Monday morning. They're all due back at work.
Henry Payne, you are so fired.
The Butter Factor was written and performed by The Cheese Shop, who are Gerard Foster, Dave Lamb, Gordon Southern, Tim Berender, Ben Ward and Richard Webb. The show was produced by Adam Tandy.